Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today.
Good morning and welcome to another Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles giving you an invitation to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we share some time together around the fellowship of the Word of God. And like to give you, to begin with, my church announcements there at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle on Mount Tabor Road, where Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We are due meet on Sunday mornings for Sunday school at 9:45. We begin our morning worship at 10:45. We begin our Sunday evening service at 6, and we begin our Wednesday evening service at 7. Give you an invitation to come. Be with us in these services. I know that God would bless you. And so I'd like to also say thank you this morning for all you who have taken time to listen to the broadcast. And I do trust that the Lord will bless you and that this broadcast will be a blessing and a help to you as we go along our Christian journey together. And as we go, we do try to pick up others along the way. And this morning, if there's somebody listening to me that hasn't yet been picked up and on the journey, you're still on your journey without being in the journey headed for heaven, then I would pray that today the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart, bring you to a place of repentance, and to turn from your sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be saved today before it is eternally too late. Now we'll have a song and then I'll be back.
Where Jesus went to prepare by his own hand, and for the saved by grace, there is a resting place, and a few more days, it will be mine. Call it heaven, I call it home. Some call and things will not ever be as good as they've been. I've got good news for you. When heaven comes into view, one glimpse and you'll know the best is still yet to come. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it
Well, that's one by yours truly that I made an album back about 10, 12 years ago. And that was one of the songs off of it. And I just hope that it was a blessing and a help to you this morning. Now let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity, for the radio station, for the people who are listening, and for every blessing that's been ours to enjoy since we were here last. Thank you, Lord, for the great revival we just had. Thank you for the touch that you gave us during that revival. Thank you for the renewing that we received, Lord, for the renewed determination, the renewed strength, and, Lord, the new things that you showed us out of your word. Pray, Father, that you'll help us to take these things and use them to further our ministry and our relationship with you as we want to draw nearer and nearer to you. Father, we thank you for each one that's listening this morning, and I do pray for those who need a touch from you, may be discouraged, maybe one of your children, Lord, that has had a bad week, and maybe they've lost a loved one, or maybe there's a turmoil in their life. Lord, I know that you have the answer for all of those things. And Lord, most of all today, if there's one listening that doesn't know you as their Savior, I do pray that today, Holy Spirit, speak to their heart. Bring them to a place of repentance. Have them to receive Jesus as their Savior and become a child of God today. All that you do, we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are returning again to our subject of the seven judgments in the Bible, and the one we are currently looking at is the self-judgment of the believer to condemn himself and to repent of the sins that he commits so that he can not have to partake in the chastisement. We've been looking at the little church at Corinth. Corinth had some problems. It had some problems with sexual problems, some sins of the flesh. This young man had an affair with his stepmother, and this was being allowed to go on in the church. Nothing was being done about it. Then there was the problem of divisions. They were all talking about how that different ones were baptized, and they were following them. They were following this one, that one, the other one. When in reality, all of them should have been following Christ, and that's what Paul was trying to get across to them. But the one that brought us to the subject of self-judgment that Paul brought us to as he wrote this book of the letter to 1 Corinthians was the fact that they were having some sins happening at the table when they had their love feasts. Some were being bringing too much and getting gluttonous. Others were starving. Some were even getting drunk there and at the love feast of the church. And then last of all, he was talking about the Lord's Supper, the communion, and he was talking about being sure that you examine yourself and eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For if he eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What's he saying? You go in there and have that communion without really thinking about what it means and why you're doing it, then that is not a good thing. So as we look at this, it was right after that, Paul said this, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." What's he saying? He's saying that because people have done this and have not done it worthily, he said that many are weak. You've come weak in your faith. You've come weak in your worship. You've come weak in serving the Lord. You're not strong like you used to be. And second of all, many are sick. You've actually been suffering maladies because you have not taken care of yourself and you've not been vigilant to stay right with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you that will lead you into a time, if you stay under that, if you're a child of God and you get out of the will of God, you sin against God, and you continue to go on and do nothing about it, it will eventually get to you. The stress and the strain and the guilt and all of the things that go along with it, and it can actually make you sick enough to have to go to bed. And then he said many sleep, and we'll get to a little bit more about that this morning. And that's when he brought us to our subject in verse number 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But then he goes on to say, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we might not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together with condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Well, Paul is saying, when you have your love feasts, if you're really all that hungry, just eat at home. And he said, get these things that I've just mentioned straightened up, and the rest of it I'll deal with when I get there. So we're looking at this thing about this being unworthy. And what do we do about it? Well, first of all, and I'm catching up from last week to continue on, I think we can finish this today. First of all, if we examine ourselves, we'll get a comprehension of our condition. We said a doctor gives you an examination to see if he can find what's wrong with you. If something's wrong, he needs to find it. If you have a pain, if you're sick, then he needs to do an examination. If you're not where you ought to be with the Lord today, it's time to do an examination. If you're not saved, it'd be a good time to examine your soul and ask yourself this question: if I die today, where am I going to be tomorrow? Self-examination is good for the lost and the saved, because for the lost, it will help you to understand what's going on and where you're going. For the saved, it will make us see ourselves and be sorry not only for our sins, but sorry then that we have allowed these things to get into our life and to defeat us. We will actually abhor ourselves for allowing that. But then we said there is also, not only there was the comprehension, the cure, and that cure is to repent. The word repent means to change the mind, or maybe to change direction. Same difference. If you're going down the wrong road, you're trying to get to some place and you're going down the wrong road and you realize that, what do you do? Well, if the only way to get to that right place is to turn around and go back a ways from the way you've been, that's what you do. If you realize as a child of God that you've taken off a side road somewhere and you find yourself in some situation you don't need to be in, You find yourself out of fellowship with the Lord, doing things you shouldn't do, going places you shouldn't go. What do? Well, you change direction. That's what you do. That's what you do when you examine yourself. You change the direction, go back in the right direction, get back to where you're supposed to be, repent of that thing, and be restored to fellowship with the Lord. So then we said, what about the consequences? If you're out of fellowship with the Lord, if you've sinned as a child of God, and you refuse to repent, what are the consequences? Well, according to Paul, there in verse number 32 said, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, you see, sin has to be dealt with no matter who it's in. In a sinner, it's dealt with that cross at the cross, and you come to the cross to deal with that in your own personal life. And if you don't do that, then you'll deal with it on your own after you die. And that is not a good way to deal with that, because that's going to end you up in hell. You're going to stay there forever and ever, and you'll be tormented forever and ever and ever. So what's this thing about chastisement? Well, we read to you in 2 Samuel chapter 7 about when David wanted to build a house for the Lord. The Lord said, no, you're not going to, but I'm going to have your son do it. And he come out and said, if he does not do my will, if he does not walk in my ways, I will chastise him. So what happens if you have a child that needs to be corrected? You chastise him. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you whip him. Sometimes there are other ways that have effect that work just as well, or maybe better than actual spanking. And sometimes that's the only thing that'll work, and when that's the case, then okay. But sometimes sometimes a real good talking to, sometimes taking away from something that they want, something, don't let them do something they want to do. But if it comes right down to it, and nothing else will work, there's nothing wrong with a reasonable spanking. This Bible advocates correcting a child. It does not advocate abusing or beating a child, but it does advocate correction. And I can tell you that if you don't correct them, you're not doing them any favors. Because if you just let them go, they will one day get into more trouble than they can possibly get out of, and very well may never come to know the Lord. Why do I say that? I say that because the parents are the first authority figures that a child encounters. All during their life, they're going to have to deal with authority figures. If they have a job where they go to work, there's going to be somebody that's going to be in charge. They're going to have to do what that person says if they want to keep their job. Now, I'm talking from old school. I don't know how it is today. I see some folks getting away with an awful lot of stuff I couldn't have got away with. That's beside the point, but here's the thing. If you don't make them respect you, they're not going to respect someone in the job market. So, chances are they're going to get fired. They're not going to have a way to make a living and support themselves. Because if that starts, it probably won't change no matter where they go. Second of all, they have to respect the authority of the law. And I understand that everybody could give us a bad example of a law enforcement, just like you can give me a bad example of a Christian or a bad example of a preacher. You can do that. But it doesn't make any difference. When that man turned that blue light on and you're stopped, you'd better respect him. Because whether you're guilty or not, disrespect is going to get you in a whole lot of trouble. And families, if you don't correct your child and teach them respect for you and your authority, they will not have the correct authority out there on the side of the road some night and could very well end up with them being seriously injured or maybe even dead. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 10. We read it last week. That's where we stopped. It says, "Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners himself, lest you be wearied. Faint in your minds, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten that the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." So if you can do whatever you're doing, if you're a child of God and you're out in sin, if you can do that and get away with it, chances are you're not God's child. Because you see, God's not going to spank the devil's child. He's only going to chastise his own. He's going to take care of them. He's going to do what he needs to do to keep them on the right path and to keep them out of trouble, to keep them in fellowship with him, because when you get out of fellowship, you're really headed for trouble then. But then Revelation chapter 3, and verse number 19 says, "As many as this is in red words, this is Jesus speaking, said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Now, if Paul didn't make it clear enough about what you have to do about getting right was just to repent, the Lord Jesus Christ just told you himself that he's going to chasten you, and the way to get away from that is to repent. So it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Now I know that's a picture of a Lord knocking on the door of a sinner. And it's true. He knocks on the door of people's hearts. They have to let him in. He will not force his way in. He will only go where he is invited, where he's wanted. But then, it's also, if you're out of fellowship with God, you're not supping with him. You're not enjoying his company. You're not enjoying the fellowship that you should have with him. And therefore, he'll have to chasten you. That's just like when you're at odds, when a child and a parent are at odds and things are not right between them, things are tense and not good between the two of them, and the conditions cannot change until things are corrected. And then again in 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse number 10, it says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God gave, hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Then continuing on, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask. We know that we are to have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death And then he goes on to say, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, there's a lot of mixed ideas about what that sin unto death is. I can tell you that one sin that will always result in death, and that's the sin of disbelief. Failing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, trust Him as your Savior, then you will one day die in the lake of fire. But then there is a sin unto death of a saved person too. You take a person that gets out of the will of God, and especially if they've committed something that's bringing a horrible reproach upon the name of Jesus, and they have been chastened and chastened and chastened, and yet they harden their neck and harden their heart and just give a persistent, willful turning away and a denial of their wrong and just keep going and get going, this can lead to physical death. God can take you out to stop that. If you get that old heart so hard that you refuse to confess and repent, then there's a good chance you could end up so hard-hearted that nothing can penetrate it. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody can make any sense with you. And there can come a time that the only thing left is to take you out to stop you from bringing a reproach on the name of Christ anymore. I do not know what the situation was, but I did know a young man one time, 17 years old, and the Lord had been dealing with him for some time. I do not know what it was about, but every night when they had the invitation, that young man would grip the bench in front of him so hard that his knuckles would turn white. We had a revival in that church, and God was just so real in that revival that whole week. It was just like heaven had come down and sat down over that congregation. And then we were going to have the final service on Sunday morning. We started on a Monday and we went to Sunday. And that Saturday night, the preacher preached a very pointed message of the consequences of not responding. That young man stood with his hands clenched on that bench and waited till the benediction was gone. As I tried to get to him, he was a friend of my children. As I tried to get to him, he looked back at the door as he was going out, smiled and waved at me, and left. 6 o'clock the next morning, I got a call. He had died in his sleep, 17 years old. Picture of health. No problems, no complaints. Went to bed, never woke up. Now, I can't say that that young man wasn't saved. I don't know what it was God was dealing with him about. But whatever it was, he was so hard-hearted and refused to bend that I believe God finally just took him out. And then one last scripture, and then we'll be through with this particular judgment, and we'll be moving on to something else. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that's where I want to go to next. This will be our final scripture, our final comments on this particular judgment. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning verse 1, it said, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not to so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you have gathered together in my spirit with you, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What's he saying? Turn him over to the devil. Turn him out. Let him go. And let him bear the consequences of his own actions. And sometimes, my friend, that's all the chastisement it'll take. God just lets you go long enough in your own way. If you're away from God, God lets you go just long as you want to. Or until he gets enough. But at some point, there are consequences. Sinner friend, if you're listening today, the consequences for you are even more severe, that being eternity in hell. The Lord's spoken to anybody today, and you need to do some business with God. I encourage you to do it today while the Holy Spirit's close, while it's fresh in your mind. I pray that you will. May God bless you.